welcome and thanks for tuning in to Real People, Real Talk. Relevant conversations that take you from surviving to thriving. This is the podcast that goes there. My name is Paul Calco, and I'm your host. Now let's talk. Well, hello, Thriver, and welcome to Real People, Real Talk, the podcast ministry that equips you to thrive spiritually, relationally, and mentally. And today I have a sermon for you titled, God Can Use You Too. Today's text can be found in Genesis chapter 27, verses 18 through 30. My main point that I want to convey in my time that I have with you is this. God accomplishes his purposes through flawed families and flawed people. The question that I pose to you now is, do you have any flaws? And the obvious answer would be yes, you have them and so do I. But in spite of that, you and I both are eligible to be used by God. You may say why, and my response would be that God doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the call, which should give us a sense of hope, as well as evoke a sense of gratitude and praise to God for his grace and his mercy to use us in spite of us. Now, let me say this, a sermon like this, you hearing something like this, it shouldn't make us comfortable in our sins, but rather inspire us to holiness as we express our gratitude to God for his mercy and grace. Amen. And let me give you something to think about. If God only used perfect people, the Bible would be only four books long. We would only have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where we learn about Jesus. So as we unpack this lesson, I want you to consider your flaws and consider how God has used you despite your shortcomings. Amen. Now, Jacob is my main character of focus for today. He was part of the first set of twins in the Bible. And because he grabbed his brother's heel on the way out of the womb, that's why he was named Jacob, which means heel grabber or deceiver. And unfortunately, he lived up to that name. And he also reaped what he sowed at his very own uncle would later deceive him. This is a theme that we're going to see in the passage today, that there are consequences for our actions. But we're also going to see that God is gracious and God is merciful. A little bit more about Jacob. He also wrestled with God, where he received a new name, Israel, and he bore the 12 sons that began the nation of Israel. So that's just a little bit about our main character for today of Jacob. And let me give you some context to kind of set the scene. A significant interaction between Jacob and Esau occurred as the boys grew up. Esau came home one day. He was exhausted from the field, and he found Jacob cooking a pot of stew. And in exchange for this stew, Esau sold Jacob his birthright. Now, the birthright consisted of special privileges that belonged to the firstborn male. So because of that interaction in the past, once we get to the text, there's a lot of tension in the family. And to add to the family dynamic, we also see the issue of favoritism. The father, Isaac, favored the son, Esau, because Esau loved the outdoors and he was a hunter, kind of like his daddy. And the mother, Rebekah, favored Jacob, who was, quieter. He stayed inside the home more often. So that family dynamic is present, that of favoritism. Now, Rebekah has overheard a conversation between Isaac and Esau, and she took the lead in deceiving her husband. She enlisted Jacob to prepare a meal that Isaac would love. She also covered Jacob with animal hide so his skin would feel hairy like Esau, because Esau was a hairy man. With all of that in mind, a series of events were set in motion that changed the entire family forever. Now to the text, verses 18 through 20. So he went to his father and he said, "My father," and he said, "Here am I." And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you have told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And Jacob answered and said, "Because the Lord your God has granted me success." To put it bluntly, This text, these verses show that Jacob is a liar. And he lies to his own father that can barely see at this point. He lies twice. Lie number one, when he says, "I am Esau." Lie number two, when his father asks him, "How did he find it so fast?" He ended up lying on God. He said, "The Lord, your God, has granted me success." And we know there was a lie because his mom helped him to prepare that meal. Friend, we must not live lives of deception, but rather walk in the light and walk in truth, trusting that God is going to work it all out in his way and in his timing. Jacob and his mom, Rebecca, they tried to make things happen in their own strength instead of relying on God. I want you to be reminded today that God is faithful and God is sovereign and he doesn't need your help. You don't have to deceive and manipulate your way to the top. Rather, trust God, because God always does the very best things in the very best ways at the very best times and for the very best purposes. We just have to trust him. Now back to the text, picking up at verse 21 through 27. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." Like, Isaac, he's got some discernment here. He's like, "I don't know if this is Esau or Jacob. I don't know what's going on here." Verse 22. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." So he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him and he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And Jacob answered and lies once again and says, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near him and he ate, and he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near me and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field the Lord has blessed." We see more deception as Jacob lies again and says, "I am Esau." He even goes another step further to even smell like and feel like his brother Esau, as Esau was a hairy man that would smell like outdoors because he was a hunter. Now the final verses 28 through 30. And this is the blessing. "May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." And as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of his father Isaac, Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. Now let's break down the word bless. To bless means to endow with the power for success, including prosperity and longevity. Now the blessing, like in those times, the father will bless his kids before dying. And a blessing is always spoken aloud as the father will place his hand on the head of his child. We see this in the passage with Isaac and his sons, Jacob and Esau. And later we see it with Jacob, where he does the very same thing with his 12 sons. And speaking of the word blessing, I know a lot of times you may, you know, look in the news or look on social media, look around you, and we think blessings is all about, you know, the material things, like, well, that person is blessed because they got the car, or they got the platform, or they got the house, or they got the relationship. No, let me really break down what blessings are. The biggest blessing in your life, the ultimate blessing that we have or that we can have from God, is that God sent his son Jesus to die for our sins that we may have eternal life if we put our faith in him. Now, I want to give you a key point of culture and context. Now, the firstborn son, his birthright included a double portion of the inheritance and the leadership of the tribe or clan. So in this case, Isaac had two sons. They were Jacob and they were Esau. So they would divide it up into thirds. And what should have happened is that the older son would get 2/3 while the younger son would get 1/3. So that's what it means when it says a double portion. Now, following his father's death, the firstborn functions as the head of the house. He provided for the mother until her death, and he provided for his sisters until they were married. Now, as I've read those verses, there's a key point that I want to point out in that blessing. And I quote, and it says, "May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine." In other words, heaven is going to rain down everything that you need to get the promises of God fulfilled, my son. Now, this is a agriculture metaphor and a very vivid one at that. It doesn't matter how hard you work on the land if God doesn't send the rain. Let me break that down. Sometimes we aim to work so hard to make something out of our lives, but without the blessing that comes only from raining down from heaven, we won't really have anything. In other words, you don't have to necessarily work harder. You just need to put yourself in a position to receive God's blessing. So once again, just bringing this up again, you don't have to be deceptive. You don't have to be manipulative in order to be successful and in order to be blessed. Give God your best and allow him to handle the rest. Now, another key point that I want to point out in that blessing that was spoken over Jacob is this, and I quote, "Cursed be everyone who curses you. Blessed be everyone who blesses you." Now, if you have read the book of Genesis, and if you are familiar with the story of Abraham, these words will seem very familiar to you, because these are the same words that God spoke to Abraham that is now being spoken over one of his descendants. And this serves as a reminder that God is faithful. Abraham is dead and gone, and yet these words were spoken over his descendants, thus reminding us that God is faithful. God is faithful to his word. God is faithful to his promises, and God is faithful to his people. And you may feel like God has forgotten about you. And I just want to remind you, as your brother in Christ, to keep the faith, because we serve a faithful God that has not forgotten about you. Just keep the faith and keep obeying him. Amen. So Jacob may have gotten the blessing that he wanted, but it cost him. Of course, we know that God is full of grace. God is full of mercy, and God will forgive us of our sins, but we must still face the consequences of our actions and be held accountable. And allow me to explain. Now, Jacob, for what he did, he was forgiven and God used him. And I believe that he is in heaven right now, but his actions had real time consequences. And here are a few of them. He never saw his mother again. His own brother wanted to kill him. And thirdly, when you read all of Genesis, you see later on that he was, you know, deceived by his very own uncle Laban. It cost him about 7 years of his life. Cool story. Read the book of Genesis. Fourthly, his family became torn by strife. And then lastly, at least on this list, lastly, his brother became the founder of an enemy nation, the Edomites. Now, just imagine with me, if you will, how different his life would have been if he and his mother would have waited on God to work it out in his timing and in his way. Or we can make this personal. How often do we try to rush things in our lives or do things in our own power or try to play God in our lives and it end up pushing us back? I want to encourage you to trust God's will, to trust his timing, and to trust his way. So all in all, my friend, it is in your best interest to obey God and to do what's right. Now, a message like this, an episode like this, isn't meant to make you feel bad if you have made mistakes. Because I want you to know that God has already forgiven you, and now you got to forgive yourself and move on. Now, when it comes to like forgiving ourselves, sometimes that can be hard. I want to be honest here. Sometimes that can be hard because we don't think that we deserve it, and technically we don't, but in Christ we do because of the grace and the mercy of God. And on that note, as once again, I want to bring up the main point that God accomplishes his purposes through flawed people. which means that you, my friend, with your flaws, you are still a candidate to be used by God. Bring all your issues, bring all your flaws to God, and then pursue holiness and sanctification. Amen. But in this journey, I want to admonish you to beware of shame and condemnation. They both are tools of the enemy meant to paralyze us from pressing forward in the call of God. But all you have to do is to repent and move in the right direction. Now, as I was studying the life of Jacob, I was reminded of another person with flaws, and God still used him. And I'm fast forwarding to the New Testament. I'm talking about Peter. Let me just list out some of his flaws. Peter is notoriously known for speaking before thinking. He even tried to rebuke Jesus himself when Jesus was explaining the will of God that he would have to die and be crucified. And Jesus had to respond to him and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Peter, he was guilty of assault with a deadly weapon. When you read the Bible, you see where he cut off a man's ear. And when Jesus was in the garden and needed his disciples the most, needed Peter the most, Peter fell asleep instead of praying. And of course, we know infamously that he denied Christ three times and even cursed when he was like, he called a curse upon himself to try to prove the point of denying Christ, saying that he did not know the man. So that was just some of Peter's flaws. But let me tell you the good news, that God uses people with flaws. And this same Peter that had those flaws, he preached on the day of Pentecost. And after that sermon, 3,000 people were baptized and began to follow Jesus, talking about a real revival. He healed a lame man. And he is the only person in history, outside of Jesus, of course, that he walked on water. He was very instrumental in spreading the gospel to Samaria and to the Gentiles. He was later affirmed by Jesus when Jesus said, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." When Jesus was resurrected, he said to go and tell my disciples and Peter. He called out Peter personally. In other words, he was saying, don't forget about the flawed one. Don't forget about the one that got issues. I got plans for him. And that should give you hope. And that should give you assurance. No matter what has happened in your life, God can redeem it. And I've said all of that to say this. If God can use somebody like Jacob, and if God can use somebody like Peter, then surely God can use you too. And this brings us full circle to the main point, that God accomplishes his purposes through flawed people, flawed families. So please don't allow a dark past to overshadow a bright future. Let me say that one more time. Please don't allow a dark past to overshadow a bright future. Because the God that I know, the God of the Bible, the God that I serve, he redeems and he restores. Romans 8:28 declares, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Know this, God can use you too. And he's working all things out for your good. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful today for God's mercy. And I'm grateful for his grace. Mercy, in other words, I'm not getting something that I do deserve because of my sin. That's eternal punishment. That's hell. I don't have to go through that when I put my faith in Christ because of God's mercy. But I'm also grateful for his grace. And that is getting something that I don't deserve. For example, having a restored relationship with God the Father because of what God the Son did on the cross. God accomplishes his purposes through flawed people. And a cool thing about God, with him being so sovereign, so faithful, so powerful, so all-knowing, he isn't afraid of your flaws. He has already accounted for them. So bring your flaws to the Lord. But if you fall down, I just want to rightly divide it now. If you fall down, don't stay down. Get up and give God your best. I want to encourage you to bring your flaws to God. But you don't have to stay flawed, amen. Because I really believe that the closer you get with the Lord, the more you walk with him, the more that you're going to be like him. As we call this, a process of sanctification that happens throughout our lives. In other words, when you've been living for God for a long time, there should be maturity. So I say it like this. I want to encourage you to strive for obedience, to strive for holiness, and to strive for purity, to be a man of character, to be a woman of character, and to have integrity. Now, an episode like this, it's not about celebrating sin. The devil is a lie, but it's about celebrating our Savior. And the reason why we don't need to be celebrating sin, let me just say a quick thing about sin, is that sin is a dangerous game and a slippery slope. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to be kept, and it costs you more than what you want to pay, as we saw in the life of Jacob. So I want to be real clear. Yes, God can use you too. And yes, God uses flawed people, but we should strive to be like Jesus, to live holy lives. But bring your flaws to him. Bring everything that you have. Bring it all to God and let him use you in spite of you. And that should make you want to love him. That should make you want to follow him. And that should make you want to obey him. Let me tell you a quick story before I conclude. Maybe about a decade ago, I was living in New Orleans when I was getting my master's and learning more about the Bible and going to seminary. And I remember I was, I can't remember where I was going, but I was going somewhere. I had my GPS on, but I thought that I didn't need the GPS. But so the GPS was playing in the background and I wasn't following the directions. And it got to the point where it said, take a left. And I just, I really thought if I go straight, I can, you know, make it and beat the time on the GPS. But to make a long story short, it was giving me directions as I was still was going the wrong way. In other words, take a left here, take a right there. And I just kept, you know, ignoring it. And it got to the point I was so far out of bounds, so far out the way that the GPS just said, make a U-turn now. And the thing about the GPS is that even though I was wrong and even though I was going the wrong way, and as it was trying to get me to go the right way, it didn't make me start over. It didn't send me home and say, well, you messed up and you got to start all the way over. No, it calculated the best and fastest route based on where I was then. And you may know where I'm going with this. Maybe you have made a wrong turn in life. God is not going to send you home and make you start all over again, but he's going to calculate the best and quickest route based on where you are right now in life. I said that story to share this message with you, that God redeems, God restores, God is merciful, and God is gracious, and God can use you too. Amen. Well, here's how I want to conclude this episode. We talked today a little bit about the concept of blessings. So I want to read over you two blessings, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. So listen up and be blessed by the word of God. From the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now for the New Testament, we have Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit may abound in hope. Amen to the word of God. So I want you to be blessed. And I thank you so much for tuning in today. And until next time, I want you to go be all that God has called you to be. Because if God can use somebody like Peter, and if God can use somebody like Jacob, then surely God can use you too. Let him use you.